Show.
That's my open?
That's what they used to call me, Swivel Hip Bradford.
That's my open. I'm waiting for you to justify your stupid opinion.
Bradfo Show. That's delicious.
Episode 110, John Tomasi, formerly of WEI.com, now of NBC Sports Boston, traitor.
Hundreds.
So if you're writing for WEI.com again, let's go back in the time machine.
Mm-hmm.
And as we sit here, this is a good exercise.
Yeah.
What would John Tomasi be doing right now?
From the moment like he tweeted the seven smiley faces to the follow-up tweets to the fact that we were talking to him in the clubhouse on camera about how much he hates Dennis Eckersley, I think it would be pretty straight. It would be what Bradfo calls a straight ball down the middle.
That's kind of what I was going to write.
Yeah. Well, you're welcome to it.
I mean, that's the only reason I asked, just to confirm that I should write that.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think your instincts are good.
So let's go through that really quick. So, whatever time it's allotted. You know, when it comes to this David Price conversation, it is bizarre. Like, as we sit here, like, I understand, sort of, the people who say, it's 2 years ago, why is this being surfaced? But here's the thing. Anytime a guy tweets anything, right, first of all, anytime a guy tweets anything and tweets it as many times as he did this morning and then said some more, and there is more, and then the manager has asked about it on OMF, the radio, and then you go to the clubhouse and, as you said, hold a four-minute press conference, which is the most pointed press conference of the entire year, not even close,
yep.
Then I'm sorry. This
pointed
is
pointed and pointless.
Yeah, yes. So this is going to be something. So take me back to the beginning this morning when you first heard about it. Did you ever think that, well, what was your impressions when this thing started
the story or
well
price
okay so
being...
so okay this so Chad Finn writes a story,
yeah, which is really good.
It was really good. Everyone said it was really good,
and it was also, like, as I said to Chad, like, you had a pretty good subject, you know what,
yeah.
I mean, it was almost like, and he said you can't really screw that one up, you know, and you can't, and it was engaging and everything. I guess what I would start with is the fact that, and this is a lost art, a lost cause, I don't know what you want to call it in today's world, but the idea of that story was, what was the headline? It was something like, I'm so lucky, or something like that?
Yeah, and it was something like, yeah, it was very short. It was very
yeah,
short.
Yeah, but headline. The idea, the whole, like, the topic, the thesis sentence, if we're going to go back to, like, high school English, was, this is everything Dennis Eckersley has overcome to become this joyous presence on the TV. And so you go through all of the trials and tribulations of his life, from his marriage or multiple marriages to his alcoholism to family tragedies to Kirk Gibson to all of this stuff. And David Price is part of that. He is.
Yeah.
And so Chad asked him about it, and there's like one sentence, one quote.
Josh Taylor, Warren,
thank you.
72.
We just want to bring you the feel of the ballpark, by the way.
That
is Josh Taylor.
We're just a couple guys hanging out, eating, drinking, and soaking in a Josh Taylor warming up.
Josh Taylor bullpen appearance.
So
anyway, so the whole idea of the story is, this is all the stuff he's overcome, and that's part of his story. That's part of what he's had to overcome. So the idea that he's not allowed to talk about it is stupid. It is stupid.
Well,
it is,
you know,
not David
well,
Price's
you know,
place
well, you,
to
yeah.
tell him what he can and can't talk about.
You knew going in that, well, you go, you do that story, and good job by Chad for, first of all, getting that story.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to ask about that. That is just, it's non-negotiable.
Yeah.
You have to ask about it. And so he does ask about it. And Eck isn't, basically, if we talk about, because one of the things that we're getting now is, why didn't he give a no comment? Why didn't he give a no comment? That's what David Price was saying. But that was basically Dennis Eckersley's no comment.
It was a no comment, but it was also, like, the point of the story was, if he's going to no comment that, then he should probably just no comment everything in the story, at which point there is no story.
Yeah.
What happened with Rick Manning? I can't comment on that.
Yeah.
No comment. You know, what happened with your family? I can't comment. Well, okay. There's not a story anymore. So the idea is that he is being open and transparent about these things that have happened throughout his life and that have not stopped him from becoming Eck, like the guy that everyone loves listening to on TV.
So when you're reading through it, there's a lot of information there, a lot on the Rick Manning thing. When you're reading through it and you get to the part on price, does that, do you, are you, first of all, when you're reading through, are you looking for that part on price?
No, because I already know. I've listened to Dennis Eckersley did a great podcast.
Oh, my goodness.
I think David Price called it a radio interview, but it was close enough. It was a podcast.
Say it. Say it. So close.
Just say Bradfo Show.
So close. And by the way, so I was listening to, I was going back and listening to OMF react to the whole stuff, and Glenn goes, like, you know, like, heck, like when he was on with Christian and I. Like, he was never on with Christian and you. You played the sound for the podcast. Anyway.
Listen, that's not my problem anymore. That is,
you would be furious if you were still working with us.
I'm furious.
Wait, so you were going through, like, he had already talked about
this. Yeah, so we knew what he was going to say. And frankly, like, I guess, you know, there's mild curiosity. Is he going to broach any new territory? But you kind of knew, like, we know the particulars of it. He has been, both of them have been pretty outspoken about it. You know, Price with his regrets, which aren't entirely convincing, and Eck with how he felt embarrassed and, you know, ambushed and all of that. So there wasn't anything in there that, on that topic, like, compared to the Manning stuff, where he talks about, you know, this guy raised my daughter, and, yeah, I'm, you know, I have feelings about it, but I have to do what's best for my family. Like, that to me was far more interesting and penetrating and whatever than, you know, this, the Price stuff. It's nothing we hadn't heard before. So for him to get so mad about it, just like, it was, you know, an unequal response given what
so, you know, they basically,
I miss being on podcasts. I'm just talking and talking and talking.
It's great.
And before, I should just say very quickly, when Rob asked me to do this, I was like, I got writing to do. How long is this going to take?
Now you like, I've sucked you back in to your love of radio.
Yeah.
And the love of the microphone.
I don't know what, if Hillman's looking for some help.
Oh, my. No, it's a whole new ball game.
Jerry's my guy. I can't say that. You're going to have to delete all this.
No, whatever. We're just a couple of guys hanging
just
out.
Just a couple of guys
sitting in our beanbag chairs, watching Josh Taylor warm up. So the story is written. People are just, you see the flood of, you know, great job, great job, great job. And then, so Reamer, because he's good at it, at finding what, you know, the hot button topic. And now that was, a lot of people were responding to this thing. And so he goes through it. And you know, in terms of, like, one of the things that I do think that people were the average fan going to be looking for in this story is what he ended up aggregating, which was the David Price situation. And so he does so. He takes out that part. And when I saw, I didn't tell him to do it, but he did it, you know, because Alex is smart enough, he can figure things out. And when I saw, okay, that's fine. Like, I would expect that. I mean, what I would expect, you're taking this part of this very interesting part of this story, and you're aggregating it. There you go. That's fine. I didn't think 2 seconds about it. Mm-hmm. And then you see that David Price obviously got the tweet, the EI tweet, and responded to that. And you know, I'm not going to be delusional and say that David Price would have responded to the Chad Finn story.
No.
But I don't believe that someone else probably wouldn't have aggregated it at some point.
The New York tabloids had already aggregated.
So then there you go. So, they already aggregated. And so so he sees the EI thing, it gets going from there, whatever. I'm not gonna have to defend Alex Reamer about that. It is what it is. So so Price does the tweet, and then it gains steam. It goes more than just beyond the tweet. It begins all the way to the point of him saying, you know, responding to someone saying, you know, Josh Taylor's coming in.
Making history.
Podcast. Just a couple guys waiting for Josh Taylor to come in. So, but now as he's tweeting things, you know, this is when it becomes evident that this is hitting home for him. Hold on, we got the pitching line of Matt Barnes. Pitching line of Matt Barnes. One walk, two strikeouts.
Big performance. Bases loaded, get out of
it. Yeah, there you go. But so he has all these tweets, and that's when, okay, now we're going to get going. And this is my takeaway in a nutshell, is that for the people who say it was 2 years ago, and everyone should have just said no comment, both these guys, this is something that has for lack of a better term, scarred them, right? Yeah. Both of them. I mean, both of them, and both of them hold a tremendous amount of animosity toward one another that hasn't gone away. It won't go away.
Yep.
It continues to fester in its own way. And, you know, I went back and listened to episode whatever it was of the Bradford Show with Eck, and he kept saying, you know, I just want to put this behind me. Like, when he did that podcast, it was 2.5 months after the incident.
Yep.
And he's like, I haven't talked to anyone. I just want to put it behind me. But, you know, I felt like it was important because this is such an important podcast. And
yeah.
And but that, even though he wanted to put it behind, it's like he had been asked this, I'm sure, along the way, and probably gave similar answers that he gave to Chad. But with Price, I feel like all you had to do is crack open the door a little bit. And by the way, the door had already been cracked open with the Strowman stuff a few weeks ago,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. So. Oh, yeah. And Price was asked that. You know, do you feel like the Strowman stuff was somehow directed
at
you?
That was a quick answer. That was a very quick answer.
Yeah, he was ready. He was ready with the ammo about, did you watch it? Which is actually a fair point. When Dennis Eckersley pitched, he was shooting guys
But that's what Eck said.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what Eck said basically after the fact. He's like, I'm sure everyone hated me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, I mean, so you have the tweets. You then have the press conference. The part that really kind of stuck with me was the idea of the MLB Network. I know we live in like a post-truth society at the moment. These are the kind of things I can't say on TV, so I'm going to say them now. But we live in an environment where truth is whatever you decide it is, and even if it's not true. So for Price to just blithely say, you know, I watched that MLB Network, and what was so telling to me was that there was not a single teammate quoted in that. It was only Eck suggesting that, and that told me all I needed to know, like suggesting that he had no friends when he played, and he wasn't a good teammate, and he wasn't popular, and then, you know, some Chad Finn does his due diligence and sees that Ron Darling and Bruce Hurst and Ray Fosse and Fred Lynn, and you go down the list of all these people who are quoted in it. But beside the point, it's just like, wait a minute, what bizarro world do we live in where David Price is trying to claim that Dennis Eckersley is unpopular? Dennis Eckersley, the guy who's friends with the former teammate who stole his wife, Dennis Eckersley, who makes public appearances with the guy who hit the home run off him that could have ruined his life, that Dennis Eckersley, that guy is unpopular and has no friends in baseball. Like that's stupid, and it makes no sense, and it's not true. So why are you going there?
Well, it was one of only a couple things that where he was going in to support his argument.
Yeah.
Like this is, it wasn't like this came out of nowhere. I mean, you bring up something like this that you've been talking about that. And that's my takeaway from it, which is this is how baseball clubhouses work. And this is why Eck, surprisingly, honestly, and I learned this when this...
Josh Taylor, what's going on?
Oh, dude.
We were so excited for him.
He warmed up so well.
He warmed up so well, but the results did not translate.
His 17th home run of the season.
We know that was Gurriel Jr. 17th.
I knew that was coming. That was called me setting it up, setting up the voiceover.
Hold on, can we get another boom sauce over here, please? thank you, dear.
No, they have the 617s now.
I know. This is a whole thing. I was trying to explain to the fine people at Lord Hobo the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've said, because you know Fitzy.
Yeah.
So Fitzy does some things for Lord Hobo as well, part of the team. But it's for 617. I said, oh, this is great. We can do this whole like taste great, less filling. And they're looking at me like I have five heads.
Oh man! First of all, that's probably copyrighted, so it's a good thing.
Well, I'm not saying taste great, less filling, but he does 617. I do boom sauce.
Yeah,
it's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing. It's a callback.
But nobody, and I'm like looking for someone who looks at the brewery who looks like they're over
like
the
40?
Age of 40. If like, please,
somebody
I have
help
YouTube
me out.
Like geared up here.
Yeah,
Brett Auerbach.
Yeah, it's just
Dick Butkus. Anyway. What that told me when he mentions the MLB Network stuff, it's what happens in clubhouses, which is someone has an idea or some information and they think is definitive, and it just goes from one person, and then becomes gospel, and then you just keep repeating
it. Now, do you think he heard that from someone else or came to that conclusion on his own? Because I certainly feel like he probably watched 20 minutes of it and decided, hey, there's no teammates in here.
I think it was probably a little of both, where you're watching it and maybe you're talking with someone, and hey, you know what? I didn't see it all. I didn't see any teammates.
Yeah.
But, and then, you know, then you say it enough. Like, I'm guilty of this where I have this image in my head of things. I'm like, repeat it over and over and over and over again.
Red Sox number 44.
Ooh, hold on. Brandon Workman's warming up. But you have it over and over again. And so, you know, we're repeating it. Like, and then you realize, wait, that isn't quite right. It's a little off. Now, I would never, ever use it to prop up something so serious at a middle of a press conference that I know could be probably checked.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. But this is, and this is a microcosm of existence within the clubhouse. And it has been for a long time. And I don't think people understand that, because I didn't understand it for a long, until this happened a couple years ago, that as much as we revere Eck and say how awesome he is and how he's a great announcer, it is 180 degrees with most of the players, and it has been for a long time. And that's not complicated. That's because he's honest, and he probably criticizes a little bit more, and also because of this exact thing, where it's been passed down from person to person to person.
Yeah. The other thing, too, is I think guys look at him, former player, former Red Sox player, employed by the team-owned network, and Price has said as much in his comments 2 years ago after this whole thing, basically, like, I'm paraphrasing, but get on board, you know? You need to be with us, not against us. And it's like, well, that's just a complete and utter misunderstanding of, or lack of understanding of, what his job is. It's not to be on the team. It's not to be throwing bombs.
But he's not the only one who thinks that way.
Of course not.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, that's the issue that the players have in the clubhouse. You know? And so, you know, they like Remy better because they feel like he's less critical. But that's also its own interesting little, like what you're talking about, where they just all get an idea and they agree. So they all agree that Remy is less critical, but he really isn't.
No, well,
like, if you listen to Remy, he's critical.
Go to the Stroman thing.
Yeah.
Remy ripped Stroman a whole lot more than Eck did.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I'm talking about. So, like, that's sort of how these, like, when you're talking about these ideas taking hold or taking root in the clubhouse, that's probably a good one right there, just between those two guys.
Now, so you go back to another big part of when Price talked today was, hey, you know, I set up a meeting with Eck, and I got here early, and he didn't show up. So I went back into episode whatever it was, and sure enough, Eck said, yeah, you know, we were supposed to get together about a month after it happened, and then basically a little while later, I go, well, would you want to talk to him? He's like, no, why would I want to talk to him?
Yeah.
And so the hazy part in what was said, because this is one of the things that Price tweeted, he said multiple times in the press conference of setting up this meeting. Did Dennis Eckersley know that David Price was going to apologize? Was David Price going to apologize? Because this is a big part of it, you know. I do think that Eck should have showed up. He should have talked through it, because this is one of the things in baseball. I can't be a hypocrite about this. One of the things in baseball that drives me nuts, people don't talk through things at all.
Yeah.
They'd rather just snipe, and this is exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
But I guess there's no way of actually knowing whether or not David Price was going to say, hey, Eck, I'm going to apologize. And he says, if he met up with him, now he said, if I meet up with him, you know, I will apologize.
Yeah, that was not the message that I was certainly divining from what he was saying a couple years ago. He was pretty defiant a couple years ago. The best he would say was, I could have handled things differently, but I never got the impression, I don't know about you, I never got the impression that he was preparing to apologize.
No, when he first tweeted it and said it, I had no recollection that he had, like, ever.
Yeah.
Well, he certainly never said, I want to meet with him, and I want to apologize
to
him.
Yeah. And the other thing is, I want to devil's advocate you a little bit.
Yeah.
So, you know, Eck should sit down with him and hash it out. And to that I say, you know what? Screw that. Like, this guy ambushes you on a plane. He berates you and embarrasses you and humiliates you in front of the team. And then, because he's getting heat about it, because let's face facts, if Price weren't getting so much external heat, I don't think he'd be saying, ah, you know what, I was wrong, let me reevaluate my behavior. Because there are certainly stories about similar incidents in previous stops, like Tampa. And was there a great rush to apologize then? Like, I don't know if...
No, this is where I'll half agree with you, is that because I don't know, like, I understand Eck being reluctant to do it because you don't know if you're going to get an apology. Because going back to when he had his meeting with the media after it happened, there was about a minute of, you know, sort of mea culpa, and then it went off the rails from there. X never in the clubhouse. Yeah. And if it's like that, then I absolutely, you know.
But they, so just to bring it back to what I was saying, so put yourself in X shoes. You get humiliated and embarrassed like you've never been in your career by someone whose entire purpose and point of that whole little display was to humiliate him. That's all that was. That wasn't about standing up for a teammate. That was, I'm going to embarrass you and make you feel as small as possible. And then you're supposed to turn around and be, I guess, the bigger person and say, okay, I'll sit down and we'll hash this out.
Well, I didn't say hash it out.
Hold on, hold on. You were a jerk. And now it's my job to help rehabilitate your jerkiness.
I didn't say rehabilitate or hash out.
But all I'm saying is, in that context, I don't understand why Eck is obligated to take.
Well, he's not obligated. I guess I just, you know, he's not obligated at all. Yeah. But it's like the I guess maybe the part of the issue is that this whole thing of like it just keeps going and going and going and giving David Price avenues to do this.
Yeah.
Where, you know, I believe Eck. I honestly believe when he said it on the podcast. I believe it, you know, I'm sure as you sit here today, he said, I just want to put this behind me. As you said, to come back to Chad's article. I mean, that was probably what he was thinking then. So what is the best way to do it? It's maybe that is the best way to do it. Like, I understand, like, if there's an a semblance of that this isn't going to be like Mr. Eckersley, I want to apologize, I handled this poorly.
And what do you think it's going to be? You think it's going to
be that? No, what I said. That's where I met you halfway in the middle, which was because of going off of that first press conference, which you went through back and looked at, right?
Yeah.
And it was, again, I don't want to be like the MLB Network revisionist history. I want to be accurate. Tell me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But it felt, what I remember that is that for it was going down the road of, I'm sorry, I did the wrong thing, blah, 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 and then just took a hard right-hand turn.
Sure. Then it was all about he never shows his face, Remy shows his face, why doesn't he? I've never seen a broadcaster do that. Why isn't he part of the team? The whole thing. In Price's defense, he does say multiple times, I will sit down with him in person. I will sit down with him in person. He doesn't really make it sound like he's going to apologize. He's going to explain. He made it sound like he was going to explain why he did what he did or why he feels like he feels. Which would be a more constructive approach than nice mullet or whatever, you know, whatever he said on the plane.
So do you think it ends?
Well, here's the bigger thing. So I know I almost said we. Well, we too, because TV, same thing. But EEI and, you know, the various sports.
And everybody else
will be talking about this for the next couple days because it's kind of a slow point in the Red Sox season. But I'll ask you, do you feel like this necessarily has the same legs, the same juice as it did?
No.
Certainly not 2 years ago. So it's like we've already sort of been through this. So this to me feels more like a one-day thing, and it doesn't linger because we've already done it. It's like Deflategate at some point. There's only so many times you can talk about it before it feels a little warmed over.
Well, I mean, already, like I said at the beginning, I mean, people are saying, oh, why are you bringing this up again? Oh, that's stupid because we painted all the reasons why you bring it up again. But it's I think people will try because, like you said, there's not a lot. In all due respect to the Revolution's big new acquisition.
Yeah, he scored tonight.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, Bo.
Oh, there
you go. Bo knows soccer.
There you go. With all due respect, it's going to be force. It just is. And the other part about this, too, is how, remember going back to 2 years ago, how it impacted the team. You know, you not only had the actual incident, but you had everyone who clapped on the plane, right?
Yep.
And you had, and that was one of my biggest things too, which was, you know, Price saying I'm being a good teammate and I'm sticking up for Rodriguez, but at the same time, how that ended up where everybody in that clubhouse was putting the crosshairs. Did you clap? Did you clap? Did you clap?
Yep.
Bedoya is doing the press conference right before Price does his press conference, and so that kept the conversation going. And then, you know, behind the scenes, the John Farrell part of this, which was, I think you agree with me, if we're going to look at things that led to John Farrell's demise, I mean, that was a big part of this.
Oh, huge.
Yeah.
Huge. I mean, I think it's fair to say that, you know, Farrell took a lot of heat for how can you not apologize to Eckersley, and you didn't have to be you know, a regular reporter in that clubhouse to recognize that if John Farrell apologizes and that gets back to Price, then a manager who was already losing his hold on the clubhouse was going to have not even a toehold in the clubhouse anymore. And, it was, and that does not speak well of Price.
And it was interesting with Cora's sort of how role like in this today, which was he was asked about it on OMF, and he basically gave the same answer what he did with the media in the press conference a little while later, which was he had talked to Price about something, and then I think Kevin Gregg had contacted Cora, so Cora called Price back, and the impression that Cora gave was that we're just putting this behind us. They're putting this behind us. So when he finishes that radio interview, initially I thought he's absolutely going to do what he ended up doing, which having the press conference in the middle of the locker room.
Yeah.
But when he says, oh, we're just moving on, I'm like, oh, no. He's talked himself out of this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There is not going to be a Fortnite tournament anymore.
No. Like a lot of us suspect maybe happened with the Steve Buckley tweet about the White House where – you know, I thought it was important for people to see this, and then he turns it into because it was disrespectful, and it's like, yeah, I don't know if that was your original intent or not. That doesn't necessarily have
to
be.
Well, if you go back, that was in Baltimore,
yeah.
And we were talking about he was coming back from injury,
yeah,
and no one asked him about it, and he didn't bring it up.
Yeah.
But if he really had like if he really, really wanted to, if he hadn't talked to Cora or whatever, he would have brought it up.
Yeah.
But I just wonder like how that conversation with Cora went, and did it take a right hand turn, or did Cora just say, okay, do whatever you're gonna do, and then we'll move on from there? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, just based on what we know about his relationship with Farrell, and obviously he seems to get along a lot better with Cora, but it's almost like if you're Corey, you have to pick your battles. Do you really put your foot down and say, don't talk about this, when he clearly needs to get it off his chest? Or do you just say, you know what, I find this all a little distasteful, but do what you got to do, and then hopefully that's the end.
Yeah, and that's sort of how it feels.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how it feels right
and
now.
He can always fall back on the whole, hey, I wasn't here when this happened.
I don't know. Maybe I'm completely wrong. I don't know where it goes from here, because the story's written, the quote was out there. Price at his thing.
It goes nowhere.
Eck certainly doesn't respond to it.
No.
Eck is not doing the Bradfo show in 2 months. No.
No, or no. 8 months, or
yeah.
A year and 4 months. And I don't think Eck is not going to respond, so there will be no more oxygen for this. And Price said his piece. There's nothing left for him to say. Mm. You know, I guess the only thing that would change is if Eck does a Price start, and we're obviously picking through every word, and says something that...
Yeah, but I think it's a good point, but I think he's already gone through that. And as he pointed out, like he was talking about having to do that road trip the rest of the time. It was, I think it was Texas, it was Toronto, Texas, and Tampa.
Yeah.
And there was 2 Price starts in that road trip that he was doing.
Yeah, but you're just asking how could this story
be extended? Oh, yeah, no, he's not.
That, I think that's really the only way, because otherwise there's no fuel.
And I didn't see Nesson. I'm just like out of the corner of my eye. You know, I just maybe. But it was like I don't think they have any desire. Like, you know, X. I think X.
There's nothing to say.
Well, X is going to be in Baltimore.
Oh, he is?
So the next series. So
I was told he wasn't going to be in Baltimore.
Either Baltimore or Tampa. He's doing one of those.
I heard he wasn't doing either of them.
Well,
that Carlos Pena's doing Tampa and Remy's doing Baltimore.
Well,
I'm in TV now, so I know these things that maybe you wouldn't as a radio person.
Is that your agent? So yeah, so you got the bug again. You coming back to radio?
got
the bug. It feels so good.
Oh man,
it feels so good.
Yeah. Why are we stopping? Don't I've heard the best podcasts are like an hour and a half.
No, they're exactly 30 minutes and 25 seconds.
All right, fair.
It flew on by, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
This game's going extra innings anyway. All right. See you.